Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1. Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. In the first verse of this chapter here in Ecclesiastes, we are instructed in the value of a good name. Your name does matter. What people think when they hear your name absolutely matters. It matters in a lot of ways. Every time we find ourselves in a political season, an election cycle, you know, every 2 years, every 4 years, whatever that election might be, the number one goal of everyone running seems to be to call or to cast doubt upon someone's name. Okay? It's all about what are they known for? What does their name invoke whenever you hear their name? It's always try, and some people do it in different ways, but it's usually try to prove that the other person is known for something bad. Try to give them a bad name. That's how the process works. Okay? Try to give somebody a bad name or try to pull out the fact that they are known to be a scoundrel or whatever it may be. Why? Well, your name matters. What people think when they hear your name matters. And I can prove to you that names stir up and conjure up a lot of things just by mentioning some names. Just by mentioning names, not showing any pictures, not giving any details, but just mentioning some names. If I said Adolf Hitler, right away things come to your mind, don't they? If I said Pastor Gibson, right away things come to our mind, don't they? Okay? One name might stir up anger, and then another one might bring back good memories and things like that. If I were to mention names of leaders, all other leaders around the world, if I were to mention presidents, okay, the name Ronald Reagan would elicit certain emotions and things out of some people. And then if I said John F. Kennedy, then that would elicit certain things. It just depends. But names matter, don't they? Without even preaching, I say King David. And names matter. We have a notion, we have an idea of who David was because what that name represents. Moses. Abraham. Funny how we go from names that really don't matter to names that really matter that quick. How about the name above all names, Jesus Christ? For the saved person, that's music to our ears. To the lost person, it could be who? Or to the lost person who knows who Jesus is but wants nothing to do with him, it may stir up feelings of anger. So names matter. Your name matters. It has long been said in the society that we live in, I don't care what people think. Now, it's one thing for lost people to say that, but a Christian has no right to say that. Because what people think about God's people can directly affect what they think about God because we are His representatives. There's an old saying that says, you are the only Bible some people will ever read. And what that means is, There are people who have never owned a Bible, never had a Bible placed in their hand, and nobody has ever given them the Scripture, and they're going to have to learn from you what the Bible says. Now, that does not mean that the lifestyle alone does it. You have to give people the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the lifestyle and the words have to line up. And so, people say, well, I don't care what people think. I have found, as you probably have found over the years, most people that say that absolutely do care what people think, and that's why they're saying that. Just like when people say, I don't know about you, but I am so tired of this. We hear it everywhere. It gets worse every year. We hear this, now it's on t-shirts and hats and everything. People say, don't judge me. Are you not tired of hearing people constantly saying, don't judge me, don't judge me, don't judge me? If you haven't noticed it, watch and you will notice most of the people that say that, I don't care what people think, don't judge me, are the people that have more reason to fear judgment, are the people who know that they're doing something that they ought not be doing, and that's why they're even talking about, don't judge me. Maybe they have judged themselves and found themselves wanting and found, hey, I'm in trouble. But people say, I don't care what people think. This Bible from beginning to end tells us that our lives matter and what people think matters. Now, you're living for Christ, you're lining up with the Bible, and somebody doesn't like it, that's where we say, I don't care what they think, I'm doing what the Bible says. But the flip side of the coin is, we do care what people think when it comes to us being a proper representation of the gospel. That's where we care. When it's somebody who hates God and hates His Word and has a problem with you doing what's right, that's where we say, I don't care if you like it or not, it's God's Word, I'm going to do it. But at the same time, we want to make sure that what we're doing lines up with God's Word so that people will see the truth. Okay? But what about your name? What would you say about your name? If I were to go to your job site and just start asking, hey, do you know so-and-so? And just start mentioning your name, what would be the report? Let me ask you this. Would you be afraid for some of us in here to go to your job site and start asking around about you, or would you say, no, that'd be fine? I hope that you would keep in mind that I'm not perfect, but I try to live for God, and I would think the people at work know that. Or if you knew that some of us were going to go to your job site and ask around about your name, would you try to get in real quick and do a little debriefing? Would you try to sit people down and say, now listen, especially if you were a supervisor, would you threaten their jobs if they spilled the beans? Whoops. This is such a spiritual bunch, you know it? What would your report be? What would your name be? Okay, maybe it's not something bad. Maybe when people hear your name, they don't think something bad. But how about this? How about this? What if I walked onto your job site and people had a hard time remembering who you were? Oh, yeah, the short guy. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Didn't he work in the mailroom? I think. Now that you tell me, yeah, I know who. Folks, that's as bad as having a bad name. You know why? That means you're not standing out for Christ. If nobody even knows that you're there, then nobody's... Because when you stand out for Christ in a world that is void of Christ, they're going to know you're there, okay? Because they're going to not sit with you at lunchtime, and they're going to go the other way and find some work to do when you show up. They'll know you're there. You'll have a name, okay? You will have a name. So we would not want someone to think bad things when they hear our name, but we wouldn't want people to not even know. Man, that, am I making an impact for Christ? People ought at least know that about me. I should be the kind of witness that people know that. But what could be said about your name? Oftentimes, those that have a good name see no need to publish the fact that they have a good name. And then those without a good name find it necessary to brag on their name or try to give themselves a false one. What I'm saying is this: I have known people, and you have known people, who had a good name and didn't see the need in bragging on themselves and talking about themselves. But oftentimes we meet people who really don't have anything to brag about, but they sure think they do, don't they? Set great store in their name and how long their family has lived in the community and everything, and you know there's really nothing special about your family, and you know really the whole town, what they know about your family, I wouldn't be bragging on. Okay, so people oftentimes that have a good name don't see the need in publishing it, and those without a good name try to make one up for themselves. But the Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. This is coming from a man who had everything and had riches and had wealth, and he's pointing out through this entire book, he's pointing out how wrong it is to live for the things of this world and not to live for God. And he's saying here, one of the things he has learned is that a good name means something. It means something. Church, when you tarnish your name, it takes a while to clean it up, doesn't it? When a church has a tarnished name, when a pastor or even someone, a member of the congregation, does something that they sin and the community finds out about it, and then it's a big thing. You can get rid of that man, and you can get rid of everybody that was involved in that thing, but at least for a while, a shadow, a cloud hangs over that church, doesn't it? It's hard to fix that name. Not that it's impossible. Some good churches out there have some dark spots in their past. Some good people, good Christian people, have dark spots in their past. But see, when there's a dark spot there, you're going to have to do something about it. I'm just saying, the Bible makes it clear that our name matters. A good name matters. And if in the past you have not had reason to be very happy about your name, that doesn't mean that life has to continue that way. Because everyone today, regardless of what yesterday was, everyone today can get on the path to building that good name. But first we have to understand what is that good name and what matters when it comes to that name. Because people have all different definitions of what makes a good name. Being successful in business, being popular in sports, being popular in the community. Different people have different ideas of what makes a good name. Some people in the sports world are known. They might have a good name and they're well known, but probably not outside of the sports world. This past week, my kids and I watched the last two games of the World Series, because whether you like baseball or not, that was exciting. That was just an exciting thing that happened. Even if you're not a sports fan, that was kind of neat that a team hadn't won a World Series in over 100 years. And then to win it that way, that was a fun, entertaining thing to watch. Not worth as late as we stayed up to watch it. But it was fun. It was fun to watch. Now, I could name some of those players that I had never heard of until that game. Had never heard of them. And those of you that are sports fans would know them. I had no idea there was a guy playing baseball named Coco Crisp. Did you know that? See, some of you sports fans knew it. Those of you that are really laughing hard didn't know that. There's a guy that calls himself Coach. I didn't know. Outside of that realm, we don't really know, do we? Those of you that follow it, you know. So some people are known in certain circles, but that's about it. So everybody has a definition of what makes a good name. If I'll be popular in this, or I'll do well in this, or I'll climb this ladder or whatever. Yeah, but you're still kind of confined there. So we have to go to the Bible and find out, what does God say a good name is? What matters? Because that's going to go beyond business. That's going to go beyond sports. That's going to go beyond popularity at the local club or whatever it is. And I don't mean club like bar. I mean shooting club, conservation club, whatever. But it's going to go far beyond that. You see, that's going to reach into all walks of life. So what matters is what God says is a good name. I want you to notice in the first verse that he says that a good name is better than precious ointment. Now, what does that matter? Why is he mentioning precious ointment? Well, precious ointment, the reason ointment was precious is because it was it had so many uses. It was rare. It was it could be used. I was going to take you to specific verses, but for sake of time, we won't do that this morning. If you're taking notes, I'll give you the verses and you can write these down. But ointment was basically oil that had spices and different things added to it. Okay, so it's oil, which was already precious. Oil was. And then they would add things to it to make ointment. It could be used as medicine. Luke 10, 33 and 34. Isaiah 1, 6. And these are just examples you can look up. We were going to look at them together, but we're not going to now. You can look these up on your own. These are just examples of where ointment was used this way. It was used as a fragrance. Well, everybody likes things that smell good, or at least things that don't have a bad smell. Nobody likes bad smell. Everybody likes things that smell nice. Some people more than others, but we like for things to at least smell clean. Okay, so it was used, it had fragrance, this precious ointment had fragrance, and that made it valuable. The fact that it could be used as medicine made it valuable. The fact that it added fragrance made it valuable. You could find examples of fragrance in John 12, 3, Exodus 25, 1 through 6, and Esther 2, 12 and 13. And then it was used for anointing. Whenever a king was chosen and they would anoint him, which was to set him apart and show this is our king, they would use oil to anoint. Exodus 30 and 25. In Exodus 30 and verse 25, it might be Leviticus. Exodus 30 and 25 and then Leviticus 8, 10 and 12, 10 through 12. In one or both of those passages, you'll read about Moses whenever he was to take the oil and anoint Aaron as priest. But since we're not turning to him, I forget if that's probably Leviticus. It should be Leviticus because Leviticus deals with the tabernacle and the priesthood and everything. So it should be Leviticus 8, 10 through 12 where it talks about anointing Aaron as the priest. Okay? So why is ointment precious? Well, because it was... Not everybody just had it laying around. It was used for medicine, fragrance, and anointing. Turn back one book to Proverbs 27, just a few pages in most of your Bibles. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. Proverbs 27 and verse 9. It says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Things that are smooth, things that smell nice. You know, we get ready for work, we get ready to take our spouse out or something. Or back when you were dating, you would go and pick your girlfriend up. Or, you know, you would Maybe put a little aftershave or some cologne on or something. Hey, you clean. You cleaned yourself. Why do you need to add anything? Well, because people like that, don't they? Not too strong, but people like that fragrance. And she would put some perfume on, and it's a beauty thing, isn't it? It's nice. This verse says right here, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. They're nice, pleasant things. Okay, that makes them valuable. I've watched some of you ladies, and you put lotion on. Some of you do it right before I shake your hand. I won't mention any names because I don't think Carol and Rachel mean to do it, but they do it every week. They really do. Every week it seems like they plan it. Oh, then I'm walking around smelling like a girl, my hands. But anyhow, I watch some of you ladies put that lotion on, and then sometimes you'll go, and you like to smell it. Because it smells good. I do want to say this real quick. I don't want us to get sidetracked, but I want to say this real quick. I was joking about the lotion a long time ago, and Sister Penny gave me a bottle of man lotion. It smells like deodorant. Like men, smells like Right Guard or something, like men's deodorant, you know. Ladies do that. They put that lotion on, and you care a lot about what it smells like, don't you? You pick out the fragrances that you like. Down at the mall, there's a whole store full of lotions and soaps and everything, and the ladies go through, and if there wasn't money in it, that wouldn't be there. Because just like this verse says, things that smell nice, they have value. Okay? So the reason that I gave you that list of verses and the reason we looked at that verse there in Proverbs is this. Ointment was of great value because of its rarity and its many uses. And here in this book, God has much to say about the wealth of the world and our attitude. So basically, you can take all of these things that Solomon has been talking about and wealth and all of those things and lump them together. And basically what he's saying here is something that is of great value, such as precious ointment. Okay? It's kind of like we just lump everything together and say the things of the world that people value. Something like precious ointment. It has all these uses. And it smells nice, and we can use it for medicine and use it for anointing and all of this stuff. That's nothing compared to a man having a good name. A good name. We can see that what we have is nothing compared to who we are and the effect that we have on other people. What you have means zero. Now, if you take what God has given you and use it for Him, then it's a valuable tool. But you're not going to use it for Him if you're not the man that you ought to be and the woman that you ought to be. Who we are matters more than what we have. What are some examples of a good name? Go to Job chapter 1 and verse 1. Could one person check and make sure that clock matches your watch? Is it right? Okay. I mean, I know that it got turned back, but I thought it should be later than that. Job chapter 1 and verse 1.
Yeah, it's really like
11. No, I didn't ask you. I meant, can someone other than Denny? A good name. Here are a few examples. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's a good name right there. He was known as being a man that feared God and despised evil and wanted nothing to do with evil. Now, when it says perfect like this, the Bible isn't talking about sinless perfection, never doing anything wrong, but it's talking about being spiritually mature in the Lord and being who God wants you to be. Not that we don't ever do anything wrong. We still have these bodies of flesh, but we try every day to yield less and less to the flesh and more to the Spirit. But that's what Job did. If we were to read on, we would find that Job would offer sacrifices for himself and his children just in case his children had sinned and had not talked to God about that sin. Now, you want to talk about a good name? Look over at verse 8. Satan goes before God here, and listen to what God says to him. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" God said that about Job. I wonder and probably do not want to know what God's report on me is. Saved by the blood of his son, absolutely. But what about my daily walk? I don't think we ought to boast, because I think our report would surprise us. Because just when we think we're really doing what we ought to be doing, then pride comes in, and then we start having trouble. God said about Job, "That man fears me, and that man escheweth evil." And then look over at chapter 2. God gives the devil permission to bring all these plagues upon Job, and he takes his family and he takes his cattle, and then he's sick. And then look at verse 3, chapter 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Now God says, I have allowed you to do all these things to him because the devil's trying to get Job to curse God and turn his back on God. And God says, I have allowed all of this and the man still fears me. Wow, what a name. What a good, good name. Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, now this is God speaking, it's what God said about David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's a good name. You say, wait a minute, David? Well, we've read about David, the man that took another man's wife, fathered a child with her, tried to cover it up and make it look like it was her husband's. That didn't work, so he had the husband killed. God had to take the life of the child. David. You ever think about David's household? David's family was a mess. David. How could David have this kind of a name? Oh, this is encouraging. This is good stuff here. This is encouraging. You know why David had that kind of a name? Because you never find once in Scripture where David scoffed at his own sin. When David came face to face with his sin, he repented, he fell on his face, he confessed it to God and repented of it and asked God to forgive him, and then turned around and praised God and thanked God for that forgiveness. How could a man do all that and God be so pleased? Because when that man did all of that, he responded correctly and got it right with God. Oh, Pastor, but I've done so much. How have you dealt with it? That's what matters. How have you dealt with it? Have you come before God face to face and confessed it and repented and admitted it and asked God to forgive you? And if so, get up and move on. Well, that's hard to do. Yeah, if you try it by yourself. But you have the, if you're saved, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Get up and move on. We won't turn there, but if you were to look at 2 Timothy 1:5, you'd read about two women, Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother and grandmother. They had a good name because Paul points out they taught you the word and they were a good example to you. They had a good name. What was their, what's the trend we're seeing? What makes a good name in God's eyes? Faithfulness to God. Not to the things of the world, but faithfulness to God. In 2 Timothy 4:11, we'll not turn there, you can write that one down. 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul says specifically of Mark that he was profitable unto him in the ministry. Well, that's a good name to have. This is someone he had trouble with. He had trouble with Mark early on. And now he's profitable to him in his ministry. That's a good name to have. Someone that is an encouragement to God's preachers. That's a good name. So we see examples here. We're told that a good name is better than precious ointment. We see examples here of what that good people that had good names, what about us specifically? If we go back to Acts chapter 6, I've got a feeling... I've got a feeling we'll have to finish this tonight. Even with some of the things that I've not turned to, I just don't think we're going to get it all this morning. Acts chapter 6. And so what we've looked at is the fact that a good name is more to be desired than precious ointment, that this is... better than anything that we could achieve or acquire here on this earth. And we've looked at how important ointment was. And now we've seen some examples. This is what God considers to be a good name. Someone like Job. Someone like David. Lois and Eunice had a good name. Mark had a good name. A good name. Now look at Acts chapter 6. And we will probably close with this and then pick up tonight looking specifically at what that good name should be for us and how do we lay hold on that good name. Because I want to do it justice and I don't want to rush it and I don't want to cut it down too much. So we will probably finish this up tonight. But chapter 6 of Acts... says, and in those days, in verse 1, in those days, the number of the disciples was multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. You know what was happening? You know what was happening? The preachers were preaching, and there were some widows in the church that were being overlooked when it came to their needs being met. Okay? Now this is something that the church was supposed to do, look out for the widows. But the preachers are trying to preach, and the widows aren't being taken care of. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, we don't have this problem here, but let's address this in case in the future we ever come up against this. A pastor's number one responsibility is to preach the word. That's his number one responsibility. Be in the word and correctly preach it to the congregation. While at the same time being an example and leading the church and being there for the church. But the moment that there are too many needs outside of preaching for him to single-handedly address, that's where deacons come in. That's where deacons come in. The deacons come in And they go and do some of these things so that the preacher can continue. Because if the preacher is so busy all week, we don't have that here. Partly because of the size of the church and other things, but here we're talking about the church in Jerusalem. Man, it was huge. It was huge. Okay, this is the first church here. And so what was happening was they didn't have the time to do the things that they were supposed to be doing. So if you have a pastor who has been so busy with visiting and counseling and all the different things that go along with it, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but if it gets to the point where he barely has time to properly prepare a sermon, then it's time for other men to come in and help out in those areas so that this doesn't suffer, because this comes first. When you come to church, this comes before you getting any physical or financial need. If you have a physical or financial need or something like that, let the church help. But this is what we're here for first. So we take care of this first, and then we move on to the other. And so that's what's happening here. And they said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. And boy, I like this name right here. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Let me ask, if you were in that church, would you maybe have been one of the seven chosen? Would someone have been able to look to you and say, you know what, put him on the list of the seven. He's a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. We can trust him with the job. Okay, it's easy to say, well, Pastor, I obviously wasn't there and we can't go back. All right, let's get right here where we are. What about if a need arises in Faith Baptist Church and there's a position or something that needs done or something that needs filled? Are you the kind of person that the church could look to and say, we can trust him with it? Oh, he'll do it. Not just will he do it, he will do it willingly. He won't complain about it. He'll do it because he loves God. We can trust that he's full of faith and the Holy Ghost? Or would you be one of those people that the church would have to say, not so sure we ought to let them do that. Don't think they ought to be teaching the Sunday school class. Come on, the good name God wants us to have is Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. That man could teach any Sunday school class you want him to teach. That man could mow the grass, clean the church, pass out bulletins, go visit widows. Why? Because he was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. That man could do it. Ask yourself today, if that need arose in Faith Baptist Church today, could God count on me? Could God count on me to be on that list? And could I be trusted with that? Not only could I be trusted with it, would I do it correctly and biblically? And would I do it the way that I should? Would I do it willingly? Would I joy in doing it, or would it be a labor? And Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, look again, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Wow, what a name. What a name. You know, you might be You might have a lot of names. We're going to close here. We're going to approach the Lord's table. And then tonight we're going to look at a little bit more about this good name, but specifically, how do we lay hold on it? How do we get this good name that God wants us to have? We'll look at that tonight. But you might have any number of names. You have your given name, okay? You have your name that's on your birth certificate. Some of you have a name on your birth certificate, but you go by something else. You have a nickname. My nickname in my family, since I was a child, and if your family gives you a nickname, you cannot escape it. You can't. My nickname when I was a child was Grunt. Because my name's Grant, they called me Grunt. I probably shouldn't have even told you that. I have an uncle and two cousins that to this day still call me Grunt. I had a cousin that bought me a pin to put on my ball cap when I was a kid that said Grunt. They love it. They think it's great. They think it's wonderful. You have a name that's on your birth certificate. You might have a nickname. It might be a good nickname. It might be one you don't want people to know. On the job, you might have a name. You might have a title. You might be laborer, you might be foreman, you might be supervisor, you might be CEO, you might be president of the whole company. You might be mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandma. We can have multiple names. But what matters above all of those is that we have a good name. And not in, oh, well, Diana, that's a good name. That's a nice sounding name. Or Phyllis, isn't that a nice sounding name? No, not in, because there are some crazy names out there. Not in what your name, how it's spelled. But you'll know if you have a good name if you examine. What does your name invoke within people when they hear it? What do people think when they hear your name? What do people say? That's your name. And church, that follows you. It follows you at work, at school, at home, in the church, in the community. It follows you. Sadly, a bad name will follow you a lot more than a good name will. But a good name is more important. God is very concerned about our name and us having a good name. Why? We are His representatives. If you're saved, you are one of His ambassadors. You are one of His representatives. And He wants us to have a good name among people. So now this morning you say, Pastor, I don't. There are always going to be people from your past that are going to remember one thing about you, and they're never going to forget that. And you can't do anything about that person's memory. But you can sure do something about from this day on not adding to the bad name that you've had. If you say, I've had a bad name, my name is, please don't go down on the south end of town and mention my name in any of the businesses. Please don't, if you're talking to the bank, please don't mention my name as a reference. Maybe you have a bad name. You say, Pastor, what do we do? Well, we'll look specifically tonight how to lay hold on that. But here's the first thing you need to know. You can work on changing that name today. And one of the ways that you do it is don't add anything else to the resume. Don't add anything else bad to the list. Start walking in the Scripture and living for God and making the right decisions and building that good name today. Stop building the bad name. You don't have to be marred the rest of your life. Do something about it now. And you do that by being obedient to God and His Word and the Scriptures. And sometimes it takes time. And if you have a good name, protect it. Protect it. Don't tarnish it. Do not tarnish it. One bad thing can scuff it up, and then it takes a while. So if you have the good name, protect it. If you have varnished that name, well, don't varnish it anymore, and take those varnishes to God and let Him take care of them, and begin today by building that good name. It matters. It absolutely matters. And we'll look tonight at specifically how we do that. Let's pray, and we'll just have one line out of our invitation song, and then we will observe the Lord's table. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for the truth that You give us. And You want us to live for You and be who You want us to be. And You don't leave us without direction. You gave us the word to tell us how to do it. And You've made it clear, not just in the passage this morning, but throughout Scripture, that it does matter the kind of report that we have and the name that we have, because we are representatives of You if we're saved. Help us to examine ourselves this morning. Show us specifically this morning where we may have tarnished our name. And if we have tarnished that name in any way, help us to get that right with You and to get on the path of improving the name so that we'll be a better representative of You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.